It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by our friends over at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, the perfect place for that game day or maybe holiday party snack over at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco. But let's talk some Cleveland Browns football with longtime sportscaster John Telich, who joins me on the hotline now. Again, I'm Rock Anoushi. He's John Telich. And JT, man, a fun, exciting Monday night affair for those Browns up in Mile High Stadium in Denver, but ultimately they fall short to the Broncos 41-32, and obviously just looking at the final score, you can tell where some of the issues lied. That would be with the defensive side of the ball. That was bullet point number one on the checklist that you sent me before we got rolling here today. So let's talk about it. Obviously, again, a good offensive performance, but the defense nowhere near where it needed to be on Monday in Denver.
Well, you were just referencing, Rocco, you know, a great place to get your snacks, and Monday night, I was loaded up on snacks because that was a show to watch those teams go up and down the field, but it wasn't, you know, the final result that you wanted because you got to hang it on the D. I mean, you get the opportunity to go out and score 32 points on the road, and you would think that would be enough, and what happened to the Browns the other night was they even worked their tails off and overcame an earlier pick six by Jameis, not to be confused with the one that was upcoming, but they had taken the lead of 32-31, but then they let the Broncos march down the field, and the Broncos were able to get a field goal to take the lead, and then, you know, the next possession was when Jameis threw that pick six number two. I think that was McMillan's, you know, kicked it off about half midfield and took it the rest of the way. And so, yeah, you got to hang it on the defense. In too many occasions, they allowed that young quarterback to hit some key passes. And another thing kind of inside the numbers, as it were, Sean Payton really doesn't do that much pre-snap motion, you know, and I think he, you know, this year simply keeping things as basic as possible for a young quarterback, who, by the way, is really good. I like how this kid plays. So there wasn't much guesswork or, you know, people moving the coverage around on these guys. They just got beat, and that's all you got to hang your hat on. They took a lead, and they could not hold the lead when it mattered the most, and it came up kind of toothless in more ways than one on the defensive side.
Offensively, though, JT, I mean, again, fireworks from both sides, Cleveland included, yeah, in that on Monday, and it just kind of makes you think, boy, if you would have had this kind of offensive prowess throughout the whole season. And I guess we can start with Jameis here, right? A good performance, yeah, from him, as he kind of talked about afterwards. May the Lord deliver him from these pick sixes, so we got to find a way to get over that. But ultimately, JT, it's just, we've talked about it before, right? Incredible how much better this offense looks now that you have, yeah, some competent players at that quarterback position, and it's leading to career nights for guys like Jerry Jeudy, who, you know, you don't go into that thinking, oh, he's going to catch over 200 yards, but that's the case. Yeah. It's just incredible what can happen.
It really is. I mean, here's Jerry Jeudy, who had one catch in each of the last three games that Deshaun Watson played quarterback for the Cleveland Browns this year, and then now in the space of so many games in the quote-unquote Jameis experience theory, he is now fifth in the league in reception yards at 880 yards. So he's on his way, obviously, to a 1,000-yard season and beyond. And he went from like 14 yards per catch average this year to now way up to 16.3. So he is making the best of everything, every opportunity, getting the ball from Jameis. Certainly there was the personal side of what he did the other night. You even saw in the one long touchdown where he took his time and then backed into the end zone and savored it and, you know, shouting at the fans. They were yelling, Jeudy sucks, and he was loving it. And I'm sure he relished going up and saying a few words to Sean Payton after the game. But bottom line is, you know, he has been shown to be a good pickup by the Browns. And it makes it even more crazy and unconscionable that they just took so long to make a decision. And really, the decision was made for them because Deshaun was hurt,
right,
or sustained that injury, that they took so long to just even put Jameis in there and see what he can do. And, you know, maybe we're talking about a team that has two more wins at this time than it was when he took over. Or maybe we'd still have the same record. I don't know. But you want to sit back and say, gosh, they were so hell-bent on, you know, proving that this is going to work that they may have cost themselves the season.
Ego is a heck of a thing, isn't it, JT? I mean, my goodness. As again, we're talking Browns football in this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, we were talking off-air about a nice documentary that's coming up on the high school wrestling front. Maybe we'll talk about that again down the line when that officially gets released here in the coming days. But Hard Knocks, Episode 1, came out on Tuesday, featuring the entirety of the AFC North. And I personally didn't get a chance to see it. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but it seems that all indications were that the star of Episode 1 is the head coach of the team that the Browns will be taking on this Sunday in the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's Mike Tomlin. Before we talk about the Steelers matchup on Sunday, JT, just this Hard Knocks in general, going around the AFC North, just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that and what we could maybe expect to see in the coming episodes as well.
Well, I was all over that. I watched it. I enjoyed it. And it is so true that Mike Tomlin comes out as the – you could tell the cameras love Mike Tomlin. I don't know if he sits back and enjoys the fact that he had them on him a lot. but he is so good at motivating players. And so I thought, first of all, Hard Knocks did a great job. You saw mostly Tomlin. You saw a good chunk of Joe Burrow down in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow talking about buying the Batmobile. and you saw a lot of John Harbaugh and not much else. You know, some focus on Lamar Jackson. With the Browns, I don't think they really went crazy. They started the video off with showing the snow globe video from, you know, the game against the Steelers, but they didn't really do anything on that game. It seems like they started with games last week. Okay, so we saw, you know, meetings with Kevin Stefanski and what have you, but we really saw a lot of in-game strategy stuff with Mike Tomlin and his assistant coaches, and then his interaction with players. Here's a good example. In that game against the Bengals, one of the biggest plays in that game late was when Nick Herbig, who had been injured and was out for a while, who was playing outside linebacker, when Nick Herbig stripped the ball from Joe Burrow and they got a touchdown out of that play. Well, Tomlin was basically willing something like that to happen throughout the whole week, saying that, Nick, you're going to make a play. Nick, you know, this is what you – don't be surprised when you make something happen big. This is why you are here. And he's such a motivational kind of a guy that, lo and behold, Nick Herbig made a huge play in that game against the Bengals and certainly helped the Steelers up their record to what it is now. So it's fun TV. Hard Knocks usually seems to get, you know, a good way of depicting what people are actually going through. We saw what happened with the New York Football Giants when they poo-pooed the, you know, we can get by with someone other than Saquon Barkley and we'll save money and we'll invest in this or whatever. And it all turned out to kind of blow up in their face because Saquon Barkley is really in the MVP conversation right now with Josh Allen and probably Lamar.
Yeah, no, certainly is. So, no, I'm excited to see kind of where this goes the rest of the way with Hard Knocks. I'm sure there's a lot of coaches and players with split opinions on that, but it's certainly entertaining for us viewers, no question about that. So let's talk about this matchup with the Steelers. I don't think we're going to have a snow globe round two over there in Pennsylvania this time, but hey, the Brownies got it done the first time around, right? Weather aside, what do they need to do, JT, if they're trying to march into Pittsburgh and knock off the Steelers, not just once, but twice, in the same season?
Well, is there a way to set up an artificial snow machine at the stadium in Pittsburgh? Obviously, they have to do a little bit more emphasis on running the football in this game than they did last week. You know, last week they threw it 55 times to just 21 runs in Denver. So there has to be more balance, and it's got to be one of those types of football games where that offensive line, which last time I looked, you still have the two outstanding guards for the Browns. You still have Jack Conklin. You still have Posick. And you do have one guy who's kind of a fill-in over there at left tackle. It's still the same makeup of a line that is shown to be able to be more consistent in running the football. So I'd love to see them. And it's, you know, more AFC North kind of football. Throw it only when you need to, maybe on occasion using it to set up the runs, but have more emphasis on controlling the game that way. But I'll also give Tomlin a lot of credit. I mean, he did go from one quarterback who had a 93% rating in his six games as a starter, and that was Justin Fields, and he went to the old cagey veteran in Russell, and Russell's up the ante with a 104.3 passer rating, and they went 5-1 so far with him as the starting quarterback. So again, it's Tomlin knowing who to use in the best opportunities at that quarterback position. And Kevin doesn't have that option. He's got right. Jameis, and you know, you're going to have some explosive plays with Jameis and Jerry Jeudy and that type of a thing, but you're going to pay for it once in a while when he throws it to the wrong team.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the double-edged sword that you get sometimes with Mr. Winston. So we'll see how it plays out for the Browns this Sunday as they march on over to Pittsburgh on the slightly shortened week coming off that Monday nighter in Denver. Two tough ones in a row here for the Brownies again as they head to Pittsburgh, hopefully trying to knock off the Steelers not just once but twice here in the same season. As again, this has been Budweiser's From the Sidelines presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. All right, JT, before I let you go, one final time, we got to talk some high school football this season as we have reached the ultimate night, or ultimate week, I guess I should say, state championship week as we record this on a Wednesday, airing on a Thursday. So tonight we'll have Avon taking on Cincinnati Anderson down there at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. We'll see if Coach Mike Elder and his Eagles can get it done. Obviously, a lot of folks here in Lorain County pulling for the Eagles to get it done, but JT, as always, just some fantastic state championship matchups here this week.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how Avon can get it done tonight. It's a pair of 15-0s going against each other. And the unique thing about Cincinnati Anderson is they just do not believe in punting the football. They have punted the ball three times all year. They play a wide open style of football. And they just, that's their philosophy. Even, I believe, they had a 4th and 5 on like their own 8 or 9 yard line earlier this year, and they elected to go for it on 4th instead of punting the football wow. away. Only 3 punts all year. So what do you have with this team? Well, you have a situation where their quarterback is thrown for 4,000 yards. He's thrown 41 touchdown passes to just 6 picks, and he is their second leading carrier on the football team. This is Justice Burnham is his name, and that football team features a wide receiver who has almost 2,000 yards in receptions this year, and he's a big target. He's professional football size. He's 6'3". Trace Jellick is his name, 100 catches this year for 1,882 yards and 20 touchdowns. That's phenomenal.
Now,
can Avon get some points against the defense of Cincinnati Anderson? I think Nolan Good and the offense can get it done. The last two games in the playoffs, Cincinnati Anderson has given up 21 or more points. So Avon has the capacity with their multi-talented kids on offense and their playmakers to go out there and put enough points on the board. So I'm really excited about that contest. And then, you know, you have quintessential small school, excellent football with Kirtland going up against Coldwater. And Coldwater and Kirtland know each other, but it's been a while. 2011 was the first year that Kirtland won a state championship. The opponent that day was Coldwater, and as I mentioned, they won. They met the next year, and Coldwater got the victory to halt Tiger Laverty and his kids from getting another state championship. Both teams, I believe, have 7 state titles in their history.
Wow.
But here's what Kirtland has been doing this week, this year rather, since they had that 3 overtime fantastic football game against Perry in week three that they won in three OTs. They have won every game since then with the running clock being a factor. And they have won each game by 31-point margin. That's the average margin of victory. And they've done it mostly without Jake Laverty, the quarterback, who came back 2 weeks ago after breaking his hand. Danny Alfieri's run for 1,570 yards and 36 touchdowns. I think if he has a monster game, he might even challenge the record for career touchdowns by one player, doing it all in one season, which would just be absolutely phenomenal. Now, Kirtland's had snow, as everybody knows. They are in the snow belt, and so they didn't even have school on Tuesday, but their plan was to try to use the facilities at Andrews Osborne School, in their indoor turf facility there, and get their work in that way. And I'm assuming that that's what they are doing to prepare for the game, which is Saturday morning. The other factor here that I just want to bring up, if I can quickly, is, you know, it's cold water. You all know that they're part of that amazing Midwest Athletic Conference. And cold water has one loss this year. And, of course, it's from the team that's in the Division Seven championship game, and we know that school, Marion Local. And so that league has always seemed to put one or two teams in the title game each and every year, and they're at it once again this year with Coldwater in Division Six and Marion Local in Division Seven. It's going to be a lot of fun. I saw last year when Kirtland played a solid game and won convincingly against, I believe it was Versailles. And then I'm looking forward to being in Canton tonight. We're recording this Wednesday, but tonight, Thursday night, when Avon takes on Cincinnati Anderson and Avon goes for that title. It's going to be a lot of fun, and kudos to all the programs that have gotten this far, and even teams that went super deep into the playoffs. I know it's a huge commitment, so many weeks of training in the summer, so much that you do to keep your team together through tough times, and then you have to literally play 6 weeks of playoff football in order to be a state champion. That's a grind that some of the, you know, college football teams aren't even experiencing. So all my hats off, as many hats as I own, I'll throw them all off for all of these coaches and kids and these programs that are going for it. Way to go.
Yes, sir. And it all culminates this weekend, or I guess this week and this weekend down there in Stark County at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, where our state champions will be crowned down there in Canton. Of course, we can go ahead and wish best of luck to those Avon Eagles here tonight, our local Lorain County school, as they get set to take on Cincinnati Anderson. 6 o'clock, we'll have a special pregame segment for them. Eagles Ascent, Avon season in review. That's at 6, with pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 right here. But JT, a pleasure as always to talk some Browns and some high school football here with you this week. Again, best of luck to our local school, Avon, and to all the schools down there in the state championship here this week and this weekend. And I'm sure we'll talk about it some more here next week, JT.
Looking forward to discussing Brown Steelers and talking about Avon and Kirtland bringing home trophies to Northeast Ohio.